Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Secular education focuses on the physical body to the detriment of the soul. We are much more than flesh, and it is a willful blend of stupidity to ignore the spiritual aspect which plays such a large part in our lives. Talents, memories, and emotions are located in the soul, and this is where all the decision-making takes place. When the body dies, the real you is taken to heaven. Life continues after death because Jesus created us primarily as spiritual creatures. The physical body is just a vehicle we use on earth. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, the message here we are discussing here is spiritual versus physical, and we are discussing about the soul today. And as I studied the outline here this morning, it's going to be an extremely important message for each one of you. And I pray to God that you'll be able to understand. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I have a pulpit. I want to thank you, Father God, for the insights and revelations you have given me during the last 50 years. And I pray now for an anointing upon myself and an anointing upon everyone listening, so that, Father God, they'll be able to learn and be victorious in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let's get into the message, the makeup of a soul. Our physical bodies on earth are solid when they collide against each other. And the same in the spirit world, invisible to the physical eye, the soul is solid spiritual matter and consists of a spiritual body and a spiritual brain. The soul brain comes pre-programmed by God and has the following program installed: trust, love, faith, knowledge of right and wrong, and a language learning ability. Turn to the last page, appendix. We have a picture there that we have drawn up. And let me just go through that with you here so you have that in front of you in your mind. So, the line that goes around us here is simply means the physical body. And inside the physical body, we have the soul, which has a soul brain and a soul body, and we also have a spirit. The physical body has an electrical and chemical guidance system. Let me run that by you again. As I'm standing up here today, and as you're sitting or watching whatever we're doing, we are governed by electricity and chemical releases called hormones and other chemicals that are released inside our physical bodies. In the physical brain, you have a subconscious mind, and the same thing with the soul brain, it has a subconscious mind. But the physical subconscious mind controls all the automatic body functions through the physical brainstem, that in the back here of your neck is where you have all your thermostats. So, when God created man, the body, we are computerized. And it's the finest computer that this physical brain is, made of protein. And God simply decided when he created us that he didn't want us to have to think, okay, I'm cold, I need to do this or that. I need to digest the food, I got to get some saliva in, I got to get water to my eyes, I got moisture in my mouth, and so on. Everything in your body is automatic. That's a blessing. Think about that. You eat the meal, you chew it, you swallow it, and then you forget it. And then 24 hours later, it comes out at the other end, and you took out the nutrients. It's automatic. Blood pressure is automatic. Think about this. There's a lot of people you see advertisement for dry eyes. You have glands behind your eyeballs that are controlled by the physical brain, and they are secreting water. It's a solution, nice solution, to keep your eyes moistured. Then you got your nasal cavities, your sinuses. They are automatic too. And they are creating a mucus so that your nose doesn't dry out. So when you are breathing, automatically everything is kept just right. You got saliva in your mouth. I could go on and on and on. It's an automatic system. If you look on the outline here now, all thinking and reasoning take place in the conscious soul brain. This is something God showed me. My physical brain does not think. It's a computer. My thinking is done in my soul brain. I take my soul brain with me to heaven, but I don't take my physical brain with me. You have built-in programs when you are created in your soul. You have trust, love, faith, language program, talent and skills, right and wrong concepts. They are built in. Have you noticed babies are very trusting? Usually they're very loving, unless they got stomach aches. And children, when they grow up, they have faith. They are honest until the sinful nature comes in. But this is built in. Think about this. If a baby is born in Japan, he will speak Japanese. If a baby is born in America, he will speak English. Whatever country you're born in. But now, if you take a family where they're bilingual, the baby learns two languages at once and can keep them separated. Some speak Spanish and English. Some are Swedish English. Some are German English. That's a built-in program. But when you get older, it disappears. It's much harder to learn a language when you were 15 or 20 than when you were 2 or 3 years old. Now, we have a spirit. You see the spirit on the side there. The Bible doesn't give us as much knowledge of the spirit as it does about the soul. And the spirit is a component that communicates with God. The soul cannot communicate with God itself. We need the spirit. That's part of us. So I have a soul and a spirit living within this physical body. and my soul and spirit will go to heaven. Let's talk about demons right now. Controlling demons can be sent to be inside someone by another person. That's witchcraft. Demons or evil spirits will enter humans when they violate God's commandments, traumas, and so on. Now, Christians have thought for years that Satan cannot read your mind. When you're thinking, he cannot read that. That's wrong. Satan reads you as well as you read a newspaper. Every thought that you have in your soul brain is picked up by demons and by the Holy Spirit and by angels. There's no privacy here. You think bad things, good things, every thought is picked up by spiritual beings, either Holy Spirit and angels or demons. And then you look in your subconscious mind there, which is where you store your memories. There can be soul damages and disturbances. So let's go back now to the frontier. You have that there. So we will go on here now. A baby that is born to a Christian parent will display these programs, but not all homes operate under ideal conditions. Most children have these programs destroyed or negatively altered when they are exposed to ungodly television programs, music, and, of course, the humanistic brainwashing that takes place in the public schools. There's a difference between children coming from a Christian home and children coming from an ungodly home. The language problem usually lasts until the child is around 8 to 9 years old, and then it begins to fade and it becomes harder to learn another language. A child that is reared in a bilingual family will easily learn both languages. The soul brain is described in the Bible as the eye, heart, and mind. That's the name in the Bible for the soul brain. And we talked about it consists of two compartments, the conscious mind, the subconscious mind. And the conscious mind is like a processor in the computer, and the subconscious mind is like a hard drive. In Matthew 6:22-23, we read this. The light of the body is the eye. Is therefore your eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is it, is that darkness? So your eye, simply, it's with single. What does that mean? A few years ago, maybe 10 years ago now, I started to have difficulty seeing. And my eyesight went down. So I went to the doctor, eye doctor. He said, you got cataract. And it's simply when the lens is getting messed up, is getting clouded. Prior to, I would say, 1950, it was too bad if you got problems with your eyesight. They couldn't do anything. But today, it is very easy. So I had surgery. I prayed, and God said, well, I can fix it this way with the mechanical hand, or I can do it in the spiritual. So he chose the mechanical. So I had cataract in both eyes, took out the old lenses, put in new plastic lenses, and what I got was bendable, which means that they are just like the regular one that we have from beginning, and now I don't need glasses. Single eye light is coming in. I can read the Bible here. I can stand up here and preach. For years I had glasses on when I was preaching. So what you want to do is, you want to have an eye that is open and only takes in good things. That's what it means to be single eye. Then in Matthew 12:34, Jesus said this, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, soul, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his soul bring forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bring forth evil things. So the soul either brings forth good or bad things, because the soul is you. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we read this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The subconscious mind in the soul is wired to the subconscious mind of the physical brain, which controls the automatic functions of the physical body. It controls the heart, the digestive system, the endocrine system, which is your immune system, blood pressure, and it goes on and on and on. Your subconscious mind in your soul, brain, is wired to the subconscious mind of your physical brain. If your soul is happy, it will simply not disturb the physical brain, but it will stimulate it to do better. Years ago, there was some kind of a study someplace, and doctors recognized that patients that had visitation from family did better than patients that had no one visit them. Something stimulated the patient, and the body recovered faster. Your subconscious mind in your soul determines your physical well-being. This means that when there's a soul, when there's a damage to the soul, it is a subconscious mind, which is the hard drive that contains them. These damaged areas are points of contact for demons to enter, and most diseases originate from the subconscious soul mind, which creates negative energy that alters the set functions of the human endocrine system and the digestive system. We have a lot of food today that is poisonous. A lot of food additives are not really food. But if your soul is happy, if you are believing Christ, and you are content, your body will do very well. But if you are grieving, if you are angry, if you are unforgiving, your subconscious soul brain is going to create energy that would hit your physical brain. And now the brain will either overproduce electricity, underproduce, or put too much chemicals in, a thyroid that you have up here. A lot of people got thyroid problems. They are spiritual. Something is wrong in your soul. I never learned this in seminary. I never learned this to become a minister. This is something I learned afterwards, reading some books, praying, reading the Bible, looking at people, and then using it in my counseling and realizing this is how it works. The affected person that is sick would be unable to figure out why he is sick. And the conscious mind of the soul is unable to reach into the subconscious mind and discover the problems. We have an immune system second to none, but it's compromised by either bad food we eat, junk food, or by junk in your soul brain. Hypnosis is a systematic method that people use to get access to the subconscious part of the soul brain. People involved in mind control use extreme traumas to create splits in the subconscious part of the soul brain mind, and each trauma is a point of contact for demons that will manifest as a split personality. Each demon will have a different voice and a different personality. Now, I am blessed. I haven't had any major sicknesses. I had two hernia operations when I was young. Had a nose operation to clear that up because I was using nasal spray too much. But I'm healthy. Blood system is good. I'm not diabetic. I got to watch what I'm eating. I don't eat white sugar and a lot of sugar because I'm watching it. But I have been harmonious. Have had a lot of problems as a pastor. But I rolled them off on God. I rolled them off. So, if you're struggling with a disease, whatever it is, it could be shingles. I have been afflicted some of the shingles. And I prayed over it. I used DMSO on it. And I was cured from it. You can do two things. You can either be stubborn and say, well, I'm not going to change. And then you go to the doctor, they give you this medication, this medication, this medication. The medication is blocking the signals from your subconscious mind so that your body can function. That's what it is. It's a physical blocker. You don't have to use that. You can be healed of your soul. And you don't need a medication. But too many people are stupid. They are simply, I would call them, they will not give up their way of thinking. They're stubborn. And they're not going to change. I have been betrayed many times, lost churches, and I learned this. I can't hate those people. I got to forgive them. I got to release them. I got to let them go. God will deal with it. Demonic activities. As I previously stated, demons will infest the subconscious mind, subconscious part of the soul mind, and from there they would control the person's conscious mind and the physical body. Hate creates so much negative energy that it eats the body. It eats the body like rust does with iron. Bitterness creates arthritis, and each disease in the physical body has a spiritual root. It is a result of a demon sitting in the subconscious mind of the soul. These different demons will attack the physical body and disrupt it, its normal functions. And since the soul must stay in the body, it will be severely handicapped. A sick body does not function very well. I want to shoot at a quick story here. This goes back to the late 1960s. We had a guy that came. I was in part of a church in Salt Lake City. And we had a family come in. The guy was about 40 years old in that area. And he was a former pastor. He had been divorced, craft, remarried. They came into the church. And he had a hard time to get a job. His wife was supporting him, his second wife. So I felt sorry for him. I felt sorry for a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, they bite you when you do them good. So I told this guy, I'm running an office out of town for the highway department. I need a draftsman. I said, we could hire you, we could train you, and you can get a job. Oh, guy said, this would be nice. He said, I don't know anything about this. I said, we can train you. So I talked to my boss. He talked to his boss. They looked at his paperwork and so on, and I said, okay, they hire him. Now, I had to commute about an hour every morning to my job from Salt Lake City, where I worked, to that town. It's an hour in the down, an hour home. So, this guy started to ride down with us. And so, I started training him, showed him how to draw, gave him some stuff to do and so on. And he was quickly picking it up. And so about 6-7 months later, I thought, you know, well, he attends church while I'm out, you know, and helped him out till he got a job. And one day, one of my people there in the office said, do you know that this guy is backstabbing you? I said, what? Yeah. He's talking about you're a bad boss, you're criticizing every time, and, you know, he said they're trying to talk and see if they can get you fired. I said, what? This guy? I just helped him. Found that out. Then another guy, he was not friendly with me anymore. He wouldn't speak to me. He was just acting like this. And I'd ride with him home. I'd ride with him in the morning. And it took about 3 to 4 weeks. And one day when I came home, I was sick. I was sick at the dog. So my wife called a friend of ours. She didn't speak that much English then. And they called a doctor, and the doctor said, don't put it to my office. Go straight to the hospital. I'll meet him there. I got to the hospital. By the time they wheeled me in, I couldn't walk. They laid me up on a table, and then I was gone. I had a virus that was just pulsating through my body, eating up everything that could be eaten. And they told my wife, you got to go home. He could have put me in isolation. And they didn't know if I was going to make it. So I was out of it. And then I realized the Holy Spirit spoke to me after 1 or 2 days and said this, you got to forgive that guy. He's dead now. He's much older than me. His name was Stunner. You got to forgive him. How can I forgive him? He betrayed me. Forgive him. So I said, okay, God, I can't do it in the flesh. You got to help me to forgive him. So I gave forgive him. After that, I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I slowly began to come back up. And after about 2 weeks, I've been in the hospital. Guess who came to see me? Stunnell and his wife. His name was Charlie Johnson. And he came in with a bouquet of flowers. And I said, "How are you doing, John? I'm so sorry." I'm looking like this. Did I forgive him? And I said, "Yes, I forgave him." And I was cordial. After that visit, it only took maybe a day or two, and the virus was gone. And I never had that again. What happened to my body? I was so crushed, having helped this guy so much, and turned on me for no reason whatsoever, that my subconscious soul created so much negative stuff to get me out of the job, put me in a hospital, and almost killed me. When I controlled my soul again, I got well. So let's talk about demonic activities. As I previously stated, demons infest the subconscious part of the soul mind, and from there they will control the person's conscious mind and the physical body. I've read this, I'll read it again. Hate creates so much negative energy that it eats on the body just like rust does with iron. Bitterness creates arthritis and eat disease in the physical body as a spiritual root. That's a result of a demon sitting in the subconscious mind of the soul. And these different demons attack the physical body, disrupt its normal functions. And since the soul must stay in the body, it will be severely handicapped. And when you get sick, you don't function. When the person suffered a stroke, it destroys part of the physical brain. Since the soul has to work through the brain, it is no longer is able to function normally. Thus, a person is handicapped and can no longer function in a normal manner. What causes a stroke? Stroke is either when an artery is weakened or you develop blood clots. How do you develop blood clots? Your soul is not happy. Your soul is creating negative energy. And instead of having the blood flowing nicely and softly, it created clots. You get hit, and then part of the brain, part of the cells in the physical brain dies. There's almost not any sickness that is not caused by soul damage. Unless you have a car accident, or you fall off a roof, or somebody throws a rock at you. But just about every disease and injury is caused by soul damage. In 2 Corinthians here, we read it from verse 4 to 16. And by the way, let me read this above here. When a person suffers a stroke, it destroys part of the physical brain. Since the soul has been to work through the brain, it no longer is able to function normally. Thus, a person is handicapped and can no longer function in a normal manner. So you get therapy, you get this and that. That's not your problem. Your problem is in your soul. People don't get well unless the soul gets well first. When the body grows older and slowly becomes less functional, but the soul does not age, my inside soul, body, and brain is about 20 years old. It doesn't age. It never will. My body does. Knowing this, I have to treat my body the way I treat my cars. I drive old cars. 20-some years old. 30-some years old. And I know this. If I service them, change oil, do the right thing, make sure they're serviced, they will last. Same with the body. I used to eat ding-dongs. You younger people don't know what a ding-dong is. I can show you by giving you one of these. But a ding-dong was a horrible piece of junk food. And it was really didn't contain any food. It was made of some kind of oil, but it tastes very good. So I decided this. I'm going to do maintenance. 2 Corinthians 4:16, which cause we faint not, but thought our outward man perish, yet the inward man if we knew day by day. I don't think old. I don't think care home. I don't think a rest home. My prayer is, God, keep me healthy to the day that I'm finished on earth. Turn off the heart, and I'm gone. I don't plan to go to a rest home. I don't plan to go to a care home. I will die healthy. That's your goal. You want to die healthy. Dementia and Alzheimer's are damages to the physical brain. And in time, these diseases will shut down the soul's ability to communicate for the physical body. I believe that dementia and Alzheimer's is also a soul disease. We have poison in the food that would help out. But I believe that just about anything that we have is caused by a sick soul. Since the physical body is controlled by chemical secretions and electrical impulses, it is easy for demons to exploit soul damages to overproduce and underproduce chemical secretions and electrical impulses, which in turn causes the physical body to be dysfunctional. Let's talk about the spirit now. The Bible says very little about the spirit of a man. We know that when a human is conceived, the spirit dies upon contact with the soul because of the Adamic sin. In 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22, we read this. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Therefore, when a person is born again, the dead spirit is made alive. John 3:5-6. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The spirit origin is of the spirit world. It was created to operate with the soul mind and control it. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he communicates to our spirit, which works in conjunction with the soul mind, and then to the physical body. So picture this. You're sitting in your car. You're driving in your car. Your phone rings. And newer cars, you can put it on, and you have speakers in the phone. And you can sit inside your car and communicate with anyone outside. That's how it works with the soul and the physical body. The soul communicates via the physical body. But it's the soul that makes the decision. The spirit origin is of the spirit world. It was created up with the soul mind and controlled it. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, he communicates to our spirit, which works in conjunction with the soul mind, and then to the physical body. And I wrote this. As I sit and write this teaching down, I did it some time ago. The Holy Spirit is speaking to my spirit, which tells my soul to transmit the information to my physical brain, which in turn controls my fingers and types out the thoughts the Holy Spirit gives me. So remember this. Every day, your soul brain is what is operating. It has to work through your physical brain. Your spirit is the one that is from God. Your spirit is divine inspired. The soul, we have a sinful nature. Remember this. We still got a temper. We still get angry. We still have that old sinful nature. And we got to learn to control it. It is with a born-again spirit that we read and understand the Bible. It is with the same spirit that we pray. It's also the same spirit that causes you to yearn for fellowship with God. My understanding for the scripture is that the spirit does not have a sin nature. And by the way, a demon can never touch your spirit. That's the good news. Any sinful action carried out comes as a direct result of the soul. And the Apostle Paul describes a constant battle that takes place within every human being. In Romans 7, 15 through 18, we read this. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. That was written by the Apostle Paul. He was a pretty good man. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, wrote a bunch of stuff in the New Testament. And he had problems. So we got to remember this. You got to learn to have your spirit control your soul. Demons do not have the legal right to attach themselves to the spirit. The spirit needs to dominate the sinful soul and subdue it to the obedience of God. In Romans 12, 1 through 2, we read this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's how you want to operate. In marriage, relationship, job situation, it is. You simply make up your mind. I'm not going to have any problems with other people. I'm not going to be offended. If somebody doesn't talk to me, I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to simply say, well, they don't want to talk to me. That's fine. I have made a decision. I'm not going to be offended. I'm walking with the Lord. I fellowship with those that like me. Those that don't like me, I just leave them alone. I don't badmouth them. I don't hate them. I just feel sorry for them. They can't get along. So make up your mind that you're going to walk with Jesus and you're not going to be rattled. You're not going to have your cage rattled. At the bottom of page 3, this is a difficult concept to grasp. So let me illustrate with computer terminology. The computer I'm using has a dual-core processor, allowing me to multitask different projects simultaneously. In like manner, God has provided for the Godship, the Spirit, to control the sin-infected soul-mind. And with that, we flip the page here. The more you pray, meditate on the Word of God, and stay in a state of continued praise and worship, the stronger your spirit will be, and your spirit will weaken the sinful nature in your soul mind. I noticed yesterday I had too much television. I watched some of the parade for the Army 250 years, and I watched maybe about an hour of it. And then afterwards, I felt, you know, I felt down. So I said, you know, I need something else. So I flipped on TBN. And there was Bill Gator at a piano with his wife. And for the next 45 minutes, I took a spiritual shower of wonderful music. It just calmed me down. And I began to feel the presence of the Lord. We need to take spiritual showers at times. Just go away, music. Walk in nature. Read a good book. Read the Bible. This is what Peter said. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Malice means evil stuff. But you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 1:20. The physical body is neutral. It is neither good nor evil. It is essentially an expression of the soul and the spirit. And if the inner man is good, the physical body will be good as well. You have only to look around to see what happens when the inner man is evil and begin to appreciate the words of Jesus. Matthew 6:22-23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? The physical brain does not possess any personal character, nor does it store permanent memories or skills learned on this earth. All things are contained in the soul and the spirit. Therefore, when the physical body dies, it goes to the grave and returns to the dust from where it was taken. But the soul and spirit are eternal. When the physical body dies, the redeemed soul and born-again spirit continue to heaven with all your memories, education, and skills that you vested in the soul and spirit. If a man dies in his sins, the unredeemed soul is taken to hell, where he retains the memories of life on earth, along with the regret that he rejected the gospel message. Think about this. You go to heaven. You have all your memories with you. All your skills and everything what you had on this earth, you have with you. And you're going to rejoice. Someone who is not saved, they end up in hell. They realize then they got full knowledge of what's going on. And they have memories. Somebody witnessed to me. I was in church one time. I did this. And the memories will stay there forever. And the person will say how stupid I was. This person witnessed to me and said, do you want to receive Christ? I said, no, I don't want to receive Christ. I don't believe in him. And they would hear that for eternity, over and over again. That's hell laid in a lake of fire. As far as I know, the spiritual and emotional maturity you attain before death will be what you retain into eternity. We will not grow spiritually in heaven. All spiritual growth happens exclusively on earth. When we get to heaven, our knowledge will be increased. We will know all the things that God has done and what is in store for us. But our maturity is solely developed on earth. So in other words, in heaven, there is no devil, there is no temptation. This is where you develop. Listen closely now. Let's say that you get sick and you're laid up in a hospital for a week or 2 weeks. What happened to your muscles? They begin to fade away. If you've been laid up for a month, you have to learn to walk again. In order for muscles to stay strong, you got to exercise them. You got to work them. The moment you just sit around, they disappear. The same thing with maturity. This is where we have the devil. This is where the demons are. This is where temptations is. This is where you meet people that are not nice. This is where you constantly get in contact with negative things. This is where you grow. Because this is where your spiritual muscles grow. But once you get to heaven, there's no more growth. You're going to learn more. You're going to have a lot of knowledge. But the maturity you have on earth, when you die, you will have for eternity. A lot of Christians are going to be babies because they don't develop. They don't want to grow. Let's read the next scripture here that we have, which is from 1 Corinthians 15. If at a foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. When I come up to heaven, and there's going to be a day when I'm going to be gone, I'm not going to go up there and say, "Hello, Jesus, this is John Terrell. I'm the guy that cast out a lot of demons. I led a lot of people to Christ. I did a lot of writing books and stuff. I done a lot of things, Jesus. Are you happy with me?" I'm not going to say that. When I come up there, I'm going to say, "I'm here by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved by grace. I'm not going to boast. The stuff I've done is really nothing. The work we do cannot save us. When we walk into heaven, we're going to be humbled and realize, oh boy, judgment seat of Christ is coming. Oh, did I take care of things on earth? Did I do it? Was I stupid? I forgot it." We close here with 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." You know, Jesus said this: a prophet is not appreciated in his hometown. And over the years, I love going out to evangelize in other places. It's much harder to preach to the same crowd week after week after week, because you get bogged down. There's all kind of problems. So what do I want you to take with you today? Let me say this more. I learned this. I cannot minister to people that know me, particularly the family. There's no respect. And what do you know? Who are you? Where do you get this stuff from? When we had Robert and Irene out here, they had never read the Bible. They didn't know nothing. And it was so easy to minister to them, because they were like sponges, just soaking it up. So I learned this. But Jesus said, a prophet is not appreciated in his hometown. Somebody's going to have to minister to my family, because I can't. So I had to go and get strangers. They will hear me, because they do not know me. But people that know me say, where do you get that stuff from? You don't know that much. You're crazy. So remember this. Your family is the hardest thing to work with. They remember how you were, what you done, and they can't say that you have changed. So today you can do two things. I think that this outline here is, which is edited by Charles, and actually he puts a finishing touch on everything I do, and so I really appreciate him for finishing up my work. Everything is there. Go home, think about it, study it, and then say, if my soul brain controls, I got to get a control of my soul brain, and I will be well. If you watch me today and you're not saved, and you says, well, how can I get in? It is easy. God paid for it through Jesus. All you have to do is to say, I'm a sinner. And you know that. God, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, I can't be saved. Jesus, come on in and forgive me. Come on in and save me. And that's all you have to do. And he will save you. Repent and ask for forgiveness. When we finish here, the last prayer said, your screen will change, three crosses will come up, and you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles say, my friend, he spent 10 minutes with you to make sure that you are born again. And when you do that today, would you contact me and let me know so I can rejoice, pray with you, and praise God with you. To those that are walking with the Lord, you already are saved. Think about this. Most of your sicknesses, if not all, are caused by soul damage. Keep taking your medication until you have your soul cleared up. But start thinking about, maybe I should change the way I think and act, and your body will heal. God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this teaching on the soul, the spirit, our bodies, Lord God. And we just thank you that we have the ability to change through the Word of God. And we just need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Trust in Him. Accept the Lord. And then rely upon the Lord to change your life, heal your soul, and strengthen you. And stay steadfast, unmovable, and the Word of God. With that, you can do all things through Christ, and He will strengthen you. And thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fourth part in the series, A Study on the Holy Spirit, and was entitled Spiritual versus Physical. Secular education focuses on the physical body to the detriment of the soul. We are much more than flesh, and it is a willful blend of stupidity to ignore the spiritual aspect which plays such a large part in our lives. Talents, memories, and emotions are located in the soul, and this is where all the decision-making takes place. Demons will attach themselves to the soul brain, warping its function so that the victim becomes controlled by the kingdom of Satan. The soul continues to exist even after the physical body lies in the grave. The spirit of a man is connected to the soul, but because of Adamic sin, everyone is born with a dead spirit. That situation immediately changes when you are born again, as you can now communicate directly with God. When the physical body dies, the real you is taken to heaven. Life continues after death because Jesus created us primarily as spiritual creatures. The physical body is just a vehicle that we use on earth. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2019. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.